pleasure it is to be in the house of the Lord. Together we are singing praises unto God. We are here to grow stronger in the knowledge of God's holy and infallible word. And I'm so excited to be here this morning. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, this is not something that's rehearsed. It is from the heart. We are so excited to have you visiting with us this morning. And we hope that any time that you're able to come out to worship with us, know that you are always, always welcome. Now, I know that I've always started out with different things to make sure that you all are awake and that you all are ready to dive into God's word. And so I was thinking of what I could do to make sure to have that icebreaker to make sure that you all are ready to go. I just really couldn't think of much to say this morning. Somebody said, how long do you think you can keep this up that every morning or every time you preach, you got something funny to say? I say, as long as you all keep laughing, I'll keep them coming. So what did the forgetful skydiver say when he jumped out of the plane? Oh, shoot. Oh, you guys aren't that great. That was kind of cheesy. It was. But forgetfulness is something that happens quite often for us. I know that I have a hard time forgetting a lot of things. I forget my keys. I forget my wallet, license, bank card. What else? I forget a remote, screwdriver. It's gotten to a point where Dee Dee has put this beeper thing on my keys that you can actually find your keys with an app on the phone. That's how bad I've gotten with losing my keys. So I heard the story about this young man who said that his wife does not give him credit. All she does is complain, complain, and complain. And so he says, she gives me no credit. I took the kids to school, right? I did not forget the stroller. I packed the bags. I packed the snacks. I even brought a change of clothes. And all she can talk about is how I left them in the car. Okay, you guys still, I'm trying here. I'm trying. This morning I want to talk about spiritual amnesia. I want to talk about something that I think is the number one thing that keeps Christians from being faithful to God. And I believe that it has to do with a type of amnesia. You know, amnesia is described as a loss of memories, such as facts, important information, experiences. And though having no sense of who you are is usually the common plot in movies and television, right? You remember the Goldie Hawn and the Kurt Russell Overboard, where she falls overboard and she forgets who she is. But the reality of real life amnesia generally does not cause a loss of self-identity. This is, however, the type of amnesia that I think that causes most Christians from being in the book of life, and that is spiritual amnesia. You know, every one of us has forgotten some on occasion. You know, we can't remember a name. We can't remember a password. We can't even remember the names of people we went to high school with. We grew up with, and we're like, what's your name again? And we've known them for years. Sadly, many of us have seen the painful side of memory loss. I myself have experienced this. My great-grandmother had Alzheimer's, and she couldn't even remember her grandkids. She couldn't even remember her own daughter. And it's scary and sad at the same time. And as sad as the reality of memory loss is, it's equally sad and even more scary when Christians fall into what I call spiritual amnesia. So this morning I want to talk about three different ways that we can keep this from happening to us. So for a little while I want to talk about falling into spiritual amnesia and what we can do to prevent this from happening. The first thing I want to look at is the times that we are most vulnerable to spiritual amnesia. The times that we're most vulnerable to spiritual amnesia. Two, the consequences of spiritual amnesia. And three, some practical steps that will help guide and guard us through and against spiritual amnesia. As was read earlier, we are looking at Exodus chapter 32. We're looking at verses 1 through 10. And as we are looking there, and if you haven't turned to the text yet, it's Exodus chapter 32. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10. And the text that we're going to be looking at, it's about the poor memory loss of the Hebrews. Moses had gone on up on Mount Sinai to discuss some business with God. They had a business meeting. They had some things that needed to be discussed and talked about. And he had been gone for, you know, about 6 weeks. And I'm sure while he was gone that there were some things that set in. First, the people probably were just impatient. They couldn't wait. Okay, you know, a little bit of worry began to set in. And then perhaps they thought that Moses said, you know what, I'm done with this. Maybe he left them. Maybe perhaps they thought he died. Maybe they thought that he just decided to just, you know, go back to Egypt. Maybe they even considered that he will never come back. And this is why I say this. In verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, listen to the language, for this Moses, this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of the gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up and out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And then the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I've commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up and out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, in order that I make a great nation of you. It appears that the people begin to wonder not only if Moses was gone, but God was gone, too. Moses had always been the intermediary between the people and the Lord. You know, maybe they thought that God and Moses had both just got together and just said, you know what, we're done. They complain so much, they bicker so much, you guys can have it. If you want to go back to Egypt, so be it. Do what you must do. Maybe they felt that God had deserted them too, as well as Moses. But this is the thing that really strikes me when it comes to us. They were just delivered out of Egypt. Just came out of Egypt. And as soon as they begin to have some type of problem, some type of issue, they forgot. They forgot about God. They forgot about the promises. And I think that happens to us quite often, where we start focusing so much on the problem, we forget about the promise, enabling us to have the patience to see it through. And what they did was they started focusing on the problem. So instead of trusting the promise, they panicked. And so the people came to Aaron and demanded that he make them a god. Look at verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together and said to Aaron, make us a god who shall go before us, as if God was gone. How easily we forget. And instead of encouraging the people, which was the job of Aaron, instead, he reverts back to the days of Egypt and allow them to persuade him to do what he knows that's wrong. Aaron presented the calf to the people and declared the calf was Lord. You just forgot that quickly that God had just delivered you. The people brought sacrifices and worship to this foolish idol. They forgot. How could the people worship a calf instead of the Lord? I know we think about that all the time. How could they forget? How could they desert the great Redeemer, the one who took them out of bondage and slavery? How could they do it? And not only did he take them out of Egypt, he didn't just do it any old way. You know, when God, it's a true saying, when God shows up, he shows out. He did it in dramatic fashion. He just didn't do it a little way where it was a little subtlety. Oh, it was big. It was enormous. It was great. And only then they could say that it was God. And they forgot. They simply forgot. They forgot about the Red Sea. They forgot about the water from the rock. They forgot about the manna from heaven. They forgot about defeating the Alchemites. They forgot about all of that. Just like that, they forgot. And we do the same thing. You got people that's walking around right now. Oh, I can't stand cigarette smoke. Cigarette smoke making me sick. You just stopped smoking yesterday. You got a problem with everybody else that does, but you just quit yesterday. Oh, I can't be in the same room as where people are drinking. You just got an Alcoholics Anonymous a week ago. But yet you forgot about what God has done for you. We forget about how quickly when we're in the mess, when we're in the storm, how much we need God, how much we're praying, how much we come to church. And the manner and the moment that we're delivered out of it, we forget about God. And this is exactly what the Hebrews had done. They forgot about God. The Israelites were getting impatient to reach the promised land. They were getting impatient to get God's instruction on how to worship and when to worship and how often to worship. They were impatient with the delay of Moses coming back down from the mountain. They were impatient rather than being proactive in prayer and waiting on Moses, praying for Moses, hoping that things will go well, hoping that God will continue to do what he's always done and praising him in the midst of, they forgot. Doesn't it sound like us? In the midst of it, we forget to pray. In the midst of it, we forget to go to the one who can fix it, the beginning and the end, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We forget about all of that in the midst of it. And this is exactly what they did. You know the song Double Vision? They got double vision? Oh, they had tunnel vision. They didn't look up. They didn't look down. They didn't look left. They didn't look right. They didn't even look to God. All they saw was the present situation, and they forgot about how good God was to them in the past. And you know what this often does? This often leads to the wrong conclusion. And when it leads to the wrong conclusion, it leads to foolish actions. And this is what happened. So the question is, what about when we face delay? What are we supposed to do as believers and followers of Christ? When we face delay, instead of waiting on God, we sometimes make foolish choices and draw the wrong conclusion. For instance, we pray and pray and pray, and when there doesn't seem to be an answer, we begin to question if God is really there or not. What about when we want something and it doesn't come our way or in our time? We begin to question whether or not God is capable. Well, don't look like you haven't been there before, like I'm the only person that felt like, oh, God, are you not hearing me? Are you not listening? Are you even capable? Do you even care? Don't act like I'm the only person that's been through this. And this is what the Israelites were doing. Older people, what about those nagging illnesses that you have? Did you feel like God was unfair to you? Is just lingering around and you can't get rid of it? Did he abandon you? Do you feel that way? What about the nagging temptations, young people, that you have to try to gain small victories day after day after day, and you're in school and you're in this world, and as adults and believers, we have to overcome this and die to ourselves every day. But when those things aren't answered, do we forget about God? In Psalms 27 and verse 14, the infallible word of God says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. It didn't say wait on man. Wait till you come up with some type of conclusion to fix it. Wait till you devise some type of magical plan to fix everything that you broke. That's not what it says. And over in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Let me tell you something. Waiting on the Lord will renew your strength. It renew your faith, and it will also teach you some submission and some obedience when you're waiting on the Lord, if you truly trust in him. But a lot of us don't want to wait. And then it says, they shall mount up wings as eagles. When he renews that strength, and he does it in God's fashion, the way that he does, you become like, you have this strength and this courage to spread your wings and fly, to know that God is with you, and that you will be able to run the race without worrying, without faint, no matter how long, no matter how many people are on the wayside, no matter how many people have given up, because you understand the prize at the end. And you haven't forgotten his promise, and you won't be weary, and you shall walk and not faint. You know, we live in a society that I've talked about as often as I do, is it's a me now. I gotta have it now. I don't want to wait for dinner. I'll microwave it. I don't want to eat at a restaurant, so I'll go through the drive-thru. I don't want to wait for the slow driver, so they created a fast lane. There's always something that we must do, and we gotta have it now. And I think what it means is, when you have a give it to me attitude, you're ungrateful and you feel entitled. As Christians, we ought to do what it says in Habakkuk in verse 3 and chapter 2. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God is an on-time God, and he will always deliver and comes through with his promises. You know, spiritual amnesia also threatens us when we're under pressure. There's nothing like being under pressure. We all know that the saying, the pressure will bust a pipe. It don't matter how strong it is, the pressure alone will bust it, break it, bend it, destroy it. And many people, when they get in the face of the crowd, just like Aaron did, when our backs are against the wall and people are asking questions, can you imagine what it was like being Aaron at that moment? He didn't know who Moses was, how long. He couldn't give him an approximate time. He couldn't say exactly what he was doing. He couldn't give him some type of breakdown, an itemized schedule of what was happening. Well, he went up there for a little while, and afterwards, I think they're going to have lunch about 12. He'll probably come down and speak to us for a little bit, and then maybe we'll probably have some fig Newtons and tea, and then he'll go back up. It was none of that, and yet he was pressured, and the angry crowd stands before him. What do you do when the angry crowd stands before you, and they want answers, and you don't have any? What do you do when you're the only person in the crowd that can give them an answer? You can either tell them yes, or you can tell them no. You have what God has prescribed, and either they're going to accept it or not. What about it, deacons, when you got to talk to a brother, that you got to hold him accountable and he's not doing what he needs to do? What about it, elders, when the men and women come to the church and say, well, we don't like the changes and we don't like this direction, but you're doing it the way that God prescribed it and your back is against the wall? Will you be able to stand and say, this is the focus and this is where we're going and this is what God wants us to do? Will you be able to do that? And that's what's important. And Aaron didn't. And so what I'm trying to do is encourage us that when the pressure comes on, that we don't cave in and give in. Aaron gave in. And unfortunately, that's unusual. You know, when a teenager gets pressure from school, I know that it's hard to engage in the wrong behavior that your friends are. That's pressure. You know, when you just got a job, and now that you got food in the house that you didn't have, kids kind of got some nice school supplies and they can go to school. You can afford to get you a car, but yet you have an employer that wants you to do some illegal things. What's the choice you're going to make? Well, I was just in this situation and now I have this job, and you want me to tell the truth? You want me to stand for the truth? You want me to have the characteristics of Christ and say that I will not do that and lose my job? Yes, because the God of promise, the God who has delivered you, who sent his son to die for you, has the power to stop time. He has the power to give you a job that's beyond what you are qualified for. He's able to do all these things and more if you trust in him. We face pressures and we often act like Aaron. We choose to release the pressure by going along with the crowd, not considering the consequences of those actions. Let's look at Exodus 32 and verse 21. Aaron got amnesia when Moses asked him in verse 21. He says, what did these people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? What could they have possibly done to you to make you lose your mind in that moment? What could they possibly have said, knowing the God that we serve, knowing he's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath? You've seen his wrath. You've seen the plagues. You've seen his power. And yet, what were you so concerned about when it was concerning man that you forgot about God? We're afraid of the one that can destroy the body more than we're afraid of the one who can destroy the body and the soul. We as believers should not fall victim to this spiritual amnesia. He forgot and he gave in to the pressure like many of us do. We must never forget that sin is serious business. It's not something to play with. It's not just something that we do and it just happens. It's like a cancerous tumor that once it begins, it's like you got to deal with it swiftly and aggressively like you do cancer to get rid of it and kill it. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says that we are told that the Lord's disciples, those he loved, when we forget God, he reminds us of his power and it often hurts. Sometimes we have to be hurt by it, but he wants us to know. It's kind of when I have to talk to Roman, and this is what we do when he knows he's in trouble. I don't tell him that I'm going to spank him. I say, well, we're going to have a conversation. And he's like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk, Daddy. No, we got to talk. But I want to remind him that that's how much I love him. That sometimes I gotta do the hard things to bring you back to remembrance of the things that I'm trying to do for you. That I love you enough that I'm willing to die for you, son. That I love you enough that I'm willing to sacrifice everything. That I put you before everything. I'm willing to do all these things. That I love you enough, even when you don't even love yourself. You're out here doing all kinds of crazy things. That's the type of love that God will do when he loves you and you're in fellowship with him. In Exodus 32 and verse 35, he says, then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made a calf, the one that Aaron made. So what are some of the things that can help us remember what we need to do? Well, I think that we should always learn how to be on guard. You know, we're ready to put weapons in the house and, well, you know, nobody gonna come in here. I got all my weapons. I got my license. And, you know, are you licensed to fight the spiritual warfare that we're in right now? Are you equipping yourself for the war that's going on? Are you preparing yourself for the intruder called sin that's trying to break into your homes, into your marriages, into your children's lives? Are you equipping yourself in that way and being on guard? I think we first need to recognize our tendencies to drift. That's why a lot of us aren't on guard, because we drift. We get frustrated by delays. We're under pressure at our jobs and at home to produce. We're hiding and we're justifying sin. Might as well throw that in there because that's the truth. We're hiding and we're riding on the quest of success, and we want to have prestige. So we get caught up in that. And then we forget and don't even notice how lazy we become in our faith. In Matthew 25, verse 13, it says, watch therefore, for you neither know the day or the hour. But yet we feel it's okay to be lackadaisical in our service to God. You have time to risk that, is what we're saying. You have fallen and you have succumbed to this disease called spiritual amnesia in such a way that you forget that tomorrow isn't promised. And he will judge you based on how you lived on this time side of life. We forget that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 6, so it says, so then let us not sleep as others do. But being awake, staying awake, and being sober. What better way to be sober than to be in the Word of God? Being aware of your weaknesses, our propensities to sin. That's the first line of defense. As soon as that sin gets in, it breaks through, and now it's a war. It's in your home, it's in your marriage, it's in your children, it's in your life, it's at your job, it's wherever you go. But we must remind ourselves every day that we are sinners. Now, don't get so, because you come to church every Sunday, that you forget that you were a sinner saved by grace. We all were sinners that were saved by grace, and we still need his grace, and we still need his favor, and we still need his love, and we still need his guidance, and you still need to read your Bible, and you still need to pray, and you still need to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We cannot forget this. And when we become lackadaisical, we forget the purpose. What's the purpose of it all? Why you come here? Why do you pray? Why do you take communion? Why do you sing songs? Why do you tell others about the gospel? What's the purpose and the point? Because we're all trying to get to heaven and we're trying to make disciples. We're trying to tell others about the goodness of God and so that they can tell others. And so in order to do that, I think we ought to come often to God's word. Not only being on guard and knowing about yourself, but often going to God's word. I think every memory expert will tell you if you do something for 30 days or so, it becomes habit. How about you do it because you just love the Word of God? Not just, well, I'm going to read my Bible for 30 days, and if I do this, then it'll become habit, and then I'll know everything, and then I'll love God. No. No, how about you've made a decision today of whom you're going to serve? You made a decision today that I will no longer suffer from spiritual amnesia because I know the truth. I've been introduced to the truth. I've been taught the truth, and I don't want to go back to that. And then I think that God's word gives us a perspective like none other. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you're into something and you start reading God's word and it's like, wow, it was right there the whole time. I've been doing that exact thing. And one of the things, the light bulbs that clicked on for me, we were in class and we were talking about, you know, the just and the unjust and how it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, it really doesn't matter. What it's about is that God wants you to see how powerful he is and how much he loves you so that you will give reverence in your life and your heart to him. That's all it's about. But, you know, you often get caught up in thinking that the blessings that you're getting is because something you've done. I've been good, right? I've been good for about a year. I haven't done anything wrong. So that's why God is blessing me. No, it's to show you his might and his power and hoping that you will come to an understanding that he's almighty and he's all powerful and that he loves you enough, that he sent his son to die for you. And that if only you would give him your heart and be obedient to him. That's all he desires. And I think we forget that. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. I think we become very frivolous in our conclusions about the important things when it comes to serving God. For example, if a pollster did a poll on how to get fit in America, right? And he uses this overweight guy and all he does is eat. And he says, based on this one person and this one experience, I believe that all Americans should stay fit and not eat like this guy. Well, we all understand that that's not a good conclusion at all. You didn't get a consensus of what needed to be done or what you should do or how often you should eat and what you should not eat. But my point is this. I think this kind of evidence happens to many Christians. They accept the final truth about something somebody else says just like that, without searching the scriptures for themselves, without reading the word of God for themselves. So what they do is they accept the final word on what some man said about God's authority and they follow it. They accept God's judgment based on what some man says, and that's the final judgment. How we're supposed to come together and how often we're supposed to meet and when we're supposed to meet and how the church is supposed to be conducted. They'll get the final word from some man and believe it. Christ's forgiveness for you, his eternal salvation, and all of these things that I'm talking about, I want to address as we hear. But I'm telling you, this is what people do, and most consult themselves on the situation. When was the last time you really truly consulted God when it came to your situation? Or did you say, how can I fix this? What is it that I can do to change this? Or did you say, let me go to the Word of God, let me get on my knees and pray and wait to see what God is providentially doing and working out in my life? Most people consult themselves. And you know what? They evaluate themselves on the last recent 10 minutes of their life. What happened 10 minutes ago is what they're basing it on. They're not basing it on all the other things and how long and how good and all of the perpetual things that they've done. Most people consult themselves, and we need to remind ourselves of God's truth, God's commandments, and God's standards. I think we ought to set aside a specific time to read, to pray, to evangelize, to give praise and honor to God for what he's done. The Hebrews forgot about it. The Israelites forgot about it. And we need not to forget. And we need to worship as commanded. I think that that's also a powerful thing that we need to remember. In Hebrews 10:25, we're getting ready to close. Not neglecting to meet together as it is a habit for some, but encouraging one another as the more you see the day drawing near. Why? Because I get discouraged. I need to see you, Jordan, in here, man, with a smile on your face. Right. I need to know that things are all right. I need to know that that we can encourage one another. I'm not in this by myself being reminded or held accountable to the things that I've done or I need to get better at. It's important. And when we come to worship, our minds and our hearts ought to be here and it ought to bring us back to the throne of God and what he has done so that we don't suffer from spiritual amnesia. Then you got to find somebody who's going to tell you the truth. That's another thing you need. And that's hard. People are worried about their friendships being broken because you're telling the truth. And listen, when I'm telling you to be forthcoming and holding your friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ accountable, I'm not talking about going up to them with a box of mints and say, listen, brother, it's been kind of tough these years talking with you, so here are some mints. That's not what I'm talking about. That Brut cologne that you're wearing is killing me. Try Axe or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about holding them accountable based on the word and the will of God. We should all form a habit of asking somebody to keep us accountable. And I know that it will help us. We need people that we can trust to keep us on course. Find you somebody that you can attach yourself with and connect with. And then finally, you ought to want to just pursue growth. Y'all just want to pursue growth. You want to stay away from spiritual amnesia? Pursue growth. I want to get better. I want to get stronger. I want to get more knowledgeable in God's word. And I know that we've been taught to be content, but that's with things. We're not taught to be content with God's word and trying to become more knowledgeable, becoming more spiritual, becoming more righteous. Don't be content because you know a few verses or because you know all the Old Testament or because you know the Bible from cover to cover. I can guarantee you there is something that you can get better at in an area that you can grow in. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, but now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Listen, as we age, we forget names, we forget people, we forget places. In fact, if we live long enough, we'll probably forget a lot of things. But the moment we feel that we've arrived spiritually, we have become a clear shot for the devil's dots and his arrows. There's always room for improvement. There's always something we can do to work hard to accomplish being spiritually sound, spiritually minded, and not suffering from spiritual amnesia. I want to ask you, are you guilty of forgetting God? Are you guilty of forgetting his promises? Have you forgotten what he did for you yesterday? As a matter of fact, have you forgotten what he's done for you this morning? Have you forgotten? You know that prayer that you've been praying for, that answer you've been looking for? Oh, he's answered it, and we've forgotten. If you are a Christian and you've been conducting and acting, you've been diagnosed with spiritual amnesia, I'm here to tell you that there is some medication that you can get, and it is the word of God, and it can heal you from your spiritual amnesia if you will just only have an open and acceptable heart. And if you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel, oh, let me tell you that you're missing out on something beautiful and magical and wonderful. And I'm not talking about sprinkles of magic. I'm talking about watching your life transform from the mess and the mud that you've been waddling in the mire with all the pigs with. He can clean you up and you become a new man, burying that old person and living for Christ. And if that is your desire this morning, I encourage you. I'm telling you, I'm here for you. I'll walk with you, pray with you, talk with you, whatever you need. I'll be the first one to tell you I've suffered from spiritual amnesia. I had to go to counseling for it. I had to get medication for it. I had to deal with all of it. I had to deal with spiritual amnesia. I knew the truth, and I decided to do the other thing. I was selfish. I was only worried about Chris, and I forgot about God. My prayer for you this morning is that you don't forget about God, that you remember that he's delivered you out of Egypt. So if your desire is to make him the Lord of your life or rededicate your life or just the prayers of the church, I'm encouraging you to come now as together we stand and sing.